Welcome to Hormone Health Podcast. We're Chloe and Georgia, your go-to naturopaths for all things hormones.
Thank you for joining us as we dive into the latest research, chat with top experts, and hear lived experiences from people just like you.
Science, stories, maybe a bit of swearing, but straight up hormone chat.
Let's get into it.
Hey everyone, just me today, Chloe, here for the podcast as Georgia is still coming out of her gastro nightmare and following up with some clients that she had to reschedule last week. So you'll just be hearing from me today. But this podcast episode, I thought it's one that I'm really passionate about and something that we see a lot of in clinic and I wanted to talk about. And this is tween and teen period pain. You know, we talk a lot about period pain and endometriosis, but that's usually in relation to young adults or women who are in a trying to conceive journey or even perimenopause. But this episode specifically is going to be talking about how to support and understanding specifically tween and teenage period pain. So in particular, this episode is going to be directed at parents or primary caregivers for our tweens and teens, talking more so about understanding and looking for signs of your tween and teen, whether they're experiencing quote unquote normal period pain or whether they're experiencing severe period pain. And I guess I just want to mention a really staggering statistic to start this episode off. But what we know here in Australia is that one in two people with severe pain will be diagnosed with endometriosis at some stage in their lifetime. And that's quite staggering. I'll go into some more statistics soon, but I think we can start off this conversation talking about what is period pain. Period pain is pain that starts typically with your menstrual bleed, and it responds well to pain medication and shouldn't impact the ability to go to school or to exercise. And so that is going to be your typical period pain, also known as primary dysmenorrhea. And so what causes period pain? Normal or typical period pain is going to be coming from the uterus, which is a muscle that contracts at period time. And it's those strong contractions that causes the release of prostaglandins, which are chemical messengers to help shed the lining of the uterus. And that contraction helps to draw it out. The stronger the contractions, the more pain that you're going to experience. So in Australia, most teens will get their first period around the ages of 11 to 14, with that average age being around 12 to 13, which is very similar to in America and in the UK. And some stats around period pain. I'm just listening to the magpies just kicking off in the background. So if you can hear that, that's the background music. But the stats around period pain here in Australia is that 1 in 10 teens who menstruate don't get any pain. So that basically means that 90% of teens will get some degree of pain. Now, there's a really big study that was conducted by Pep Talk. Pep Talk is a program here based in Australia. And this is a program that they'll go around to different schools talking around period pain. It's called the Periods, Pain and Endometriosis Talk. Basically what they did, they conducted a study around 13,000 people, and they found that over 50% reported regular severe period pain. That's massive. And so there was another research paper also conducted in this year, actually, based in Australia, and that actually said that the report of 21% of teens reported severe period pain. Now, the thing here is that there is going to be differences around what is classified or defined as severe period pain, but I think still staggering results. For example, there was another study or a survey looking at over 1,000 girls aged between 16 to 18 years. Again, they reported around 21% severe period pain and 26% missed school due to some symptoms. And again, coming back to that, what I was mentioning before, about one in two of these people with bad or severe period pain will be diagnosed with chronic conditions such as endometriosis in their lifetime. So I keep talking about endometriosis, and I think it's important to touch on that because we really need here to understand the difference of what our what a teen is experiencing and if that is normal period pain or if it's something more severe that needs to be investigated. So endometriosis is defined as when is a chronic inflammatory condition that where tissue similar to the lining of the uterus grows on the outside of the uterus. Now, what's important to note is that pain isn't automatically associated with endometriosis, but they're often linked. So what I mean by that is that you can have stage four diagnosed endometriosis and only minimal pain. So yes, although pain is a key distinctive condition or symptom in endo, it's not always going to be the main driver. Now, other sort of symptoms that are associated with endometriosis would be bowel problems or bowel troubles whilst you're on your period. Think constipation, diarrhea, painful bowel movements, stabbing or muscle-like pelvic pain, fatigue associated either before, during, after periods, poor sleep, mood changes, nausea and vomiting, and headaches. Now, when we're sort of thinking about where is that endometriosis pain driven from, yes, it is also going to come from the uterus, that muscle, in terms of the contractions, but you've also got a different involvement with the pelvic floor muscles. Just think like when we're thinking about overuse of an area, such as, let's say, you know, doing bicep curls, you're going to cause those muscles to be fatigued, and potentially overuse and inflammation in that area is going to cause the ligaments and tendons around it to also be inflamed. And that's sort of the same concept with our pelvic floor muscles, is that with this chronic pain and inflammation, you've got tightening of those muscles around that area. It can cause things like spasms in those muscles. So it can cause tightening of those pelvic floor muscles and cause that's the spasms in those muscles to occur, which can be a different sort of pain compared to, say, your typical period pain. The other thing as well with persistent pelvic pain in endometriosis conditions is the nervous system involvement. As you're getting these pain coming back month on month, there is going to be an involvement with the nervous system and how pain manifests. Not saying that it's the driver of it, but there's definitely an involvement with that, because especially if you're missing school or social events, there's going to be that nervous system activation as well, which can, for some people, contribute to worsening of their symptoms. So with that in mind, I can imagine that you're thinking, okay, well, how can we work out what's normal and what is more severe pain? And this is where we use the PIPA tool. The PIPA tool is created from the Canberra Endometriosis Centre, where they have developed a 5-question screening tool called the Period Impact and Pain Assessment Tool, PIPA. These questions relate to the impact that period symptoms have on one's life. And so I'm going to go through these 5 questions, whether you want to write them down or just even look up PIPA tool. This is something that you can ask your tween and teen to determine what their scale is and how severe the symptoms they are experiencing. And so this is going to be over the last 6 months. The first question is, do you have regular severe period pain? Number 2, had significant interference to your usual daily activities because of your period. 3, do you experience bowel or bladder pain? 4, regularly miss school or work because of your period? And 5, felt sure that there is something wrong with your period. So for each question that you answer yes to, you allocate 1 point. This, obviously, the score will go from either 0 to 5. Now, based on previous research, over 10% of young Australian women will score between a 4 and a 5. So scores that are 4 or 5 usually means that your symptoms aren't normal. And so that would usually be referred to say, yes, you do need to speak to a doctor about what is happening with your period. But I think it's important to note as well, even if you scored low on the PIPA tool, But if you still think there is something wrong, it's important to speak to your doctor. So with that in mind, here are some tools that we can use to manage typical dysmenorrhea or common period pain. Endometriosis is quite complex, and so I think this can definitely be utilized for tweens and teens who may suspect endometriosis, but these specific sort of management tools are going to be more effective for our common period pain. So the first, I think it's important to talk about the sort of conventional treatments, things in terms of pain medication, and that's going to be what will typically be recommended for period pain from a conventional standpoint would be medications such as anti-inflammatories or non-steroidal anti-inflammatories and paracetamol. Now, it's important to note the timing taken for these and how often you're taking those and whether or not they have an improvement with symptoms. Because if you're taking this pain medication when pain is quite severe already, or say, you know, your daughter's woken up in the middle of the night and she's got period pain, that pain medication is going to take longer to kick in because it needs to stop the message of that pain receptor completely. It needs to stop new pain messages. The pain that's already there needs to almost live out its life cycle. So that can take sometimes like over half an hour to an hour for that pain medication to kick in if that pain is already established. So ideally taking pain medication before the pain has started or just as it's starting, you'll get better results. Another pain medication, not as common here in Australia, but used, say, in more commonly over in Europe would be pain medication suppositories. They are beneficial from the standpoint that they have less gut interruption because they're used as they're inserted up through the anus. So you're bypassing the stomach, you're bypassing the gut. You can have more of a localized effect. And so it's one of those things that I personally haven't used, but I've seen where I've asked about it and read reviews is that people have really great responses to that. Again, it's going to be something that you do need a prescription from a GP. But if you, like I said, waking up in the middle of the night and you don't want to necessarily have to eat food or you want to take your pain medication straight away, using something like a suppository would be better than, say, taking your tablets like your anti-inflammatories. So the other side of this as well is going to be conventional hormone treatment. So doctors will typically recommend the use of the oral contraceptive pill, either with two hormones, your estradiol and your progestin, or using the one hormone would just be the progestin. Now, of course, there's going to be pros and cons to that. And I am also, like, coming from a naturopath's perspective, I highly recommend utilizing the next interventions that I'm going to speak about before potentially you doing hormone-based treatments, because they can be effective. It's just trying to be regular with them. And, you know, I'm all for anyone having quality of life and reduced pain. So whatever you've got to do to treat that, no judgment at all. But I will discuss the next sort of mechanisms that we can try. The other thing would be IUD or Implanon, conventional hormone treatments. So the next sort of suggestions that I will be talking about are not pain medication and not hormone medication. So this is going to be in the form of heat. So utilizing a heat pack or trying a TENS machine. There are some really great new products available out there. I think Kmart even have a period belt that's either a heat pack or an TENS machine as well. They can be really useful, especially if that pain isn't severe. It's more just an annoyance, something that you can use before going to bed or popping on in the morning. Also beneficial when you're at home and not at school during that time. Movement, gentle movement. It's one of those things that when you have your period, it's hard to tell somebody to, you know, that movement's going to help when all you want to do is curl up in a ball and have your heat pack. But there has been shown that gentle movement or moving the body can support oxygenation and improve the contractions of the uterus with period pain. Another one is trying to stay calm, and that's again something that's related to the nervous system and how our brain can control and manage those pain receptors. But when we feel safe, we can feel calm. And so that is really going to be a bigger sort of topic than just sort of trying to stay calm. Because if you're experiencing period pain, especially at school, where one, you don't feel safe, or you feel judged, or you're not prepared, so you don't have your pain medication or period care products, that is going to contribute to a more activated nervous system where you feel more stressed and potentially may worsen your symptoms. So the next thing that I really wanted to speak about is different supplements that we use here in clinic. One that I come back to time and time again is ginger, dried ginger powder. Ginger or dried ginger root powder has been proven to be an excellent herb for treatment of dysmenorrhea and also treatment of menorrhagia, which is heavy period, heavy bleeding. So you don't have to take much of it. It's 500 milligrams of dried ginger in the morning and evening, and you do that for several days in the lead up to the period and then during your period. Trialing that or doing that for 3 menstrual cycles has been shown to significantly cut down on heavy menstrual bleeding and improve period pain. Ginger is cost effective. It's something that is relatively easy to take and to find. So that's one of my definite go-to. And you don't necessarily have to worry about taking it or contraindications with any other things. You can even use it as a food source, you know, in terms of if you're doing fresh juices or adding it into, say, smoothies. Or ginger has a wide range of use and however you want to do that. But it's, you know, it's one of those things that can be taken or picked up, you know, in a capsule form and easy to take. The other thing that we utilize here as well is turmeric, or its active ingredient is called curcumin. Curcumin is responsible for the pigment of turmeric, and it has been shown as well to reduce period pain and heavy bleeding too. The only thing with turmeric or curcumin that we need to consider is that it can impede iron absorption. So usually it's not one that we want to be taking if we're taking an iron supplement as well. But both of those herbs, even in food source, are going to be really great for trying to manage period pain. So some other supplements that we consider as well is the mineral zinc. Zinc has been shown in clinical trial to improve the effects of when taking your anti-inflammatory medication. So that could be something that could be used alongside when we think about how zinc works. It's a catalyst for our antioxidant enzymes and has anti-inflammatory properties which help with pain. It also helps in terms of supporting blood flow, which we know with, say, period pain contractions, that if there is reduced blood flow, that can be associated with stronger contractions. That's why gentle movement really can help with period pain in terms of supporting that circulation. Zinc also inhibits the synthesis of those inflammatory chemical messages called prostaglandins. So reducing the amount of prostaglandins circulating can also reduce that cascade of inflammation. Other minerals that we need to think about is magnesium. Magnesium works really well to relax the contractions. You know, people take magnesium for leg spasms, for all sorts of things. So from a muscle relaxant aspect, that can work pretty well too. So usually I'd say the specific forms of magnesium that you can take, and just trying to avoid one with magnesium oxide would be preferable. So from a supplement perspective, those are sort of 3 or 4 that I usually go for, along with utilizing things like heat, movement, supporting nervous system, and if needed, say things like a TENS machine as well can work really well. This is the tricky part, is that pain is subjective. We can never truly understand a pain that someone else is experiencing. And so if they are saying that it is what they're experiencing is severe, then, you know, that's severe for them. And so these certain management tools may work some months, may not work other months, but I think it's worth coming back to those questions of understanding, okay, in the last 6 months, how has your period been? And is it turning from manageable to not so manageable, and what things can you put in place, or is it time to speak to a doctor and get some further investigations or get a pain plan organized by the doctor and what that looks like in terms of medications, prescription or over the counter. This is a topic, again, that I said I'm super, super passionate about. 90% of our teens and tweens experiencing period pain, that can be so disruptive from a school perspective. And so when we're sort of thinking about how can we make our period pain a better experience at home or at school, here's a checklist that I would recommend. One would be to get your teen or tween to talk to their parent or primary caregiver, teacher or nurse, especially if they need to store pain medication or they need to use the bathroom more to change period care products. Having that open conversation helps your daughter to feel safe and it helps them to not feel judged or embarrassed about what's going on. Secondly, is make sure that they have everything that they need on them, whether that be at home or at school. Do they have sufficient period care products? Do they have backup period underwear in case that they've bled through their underwear or through their pad? Do they have potentially a spare pair of shorts or skirt or dress that they can use if they bleed through? Do they have their pain medication either there or in storage? Do they have either their supplements that they can take or something that's going to ease their pain? Are they able to take regular breaks or are they feeling in that environment that they can have either they can have that relaxation time or calming time, especially if their pain is causing them to feel stressed or scared? So all in all, that would be my summary for talking about primary period pain in our tweens and teens. A resource that I would recommend you visit if you are looking for more information would be the Pelvic Pain Foundation of Australia. That's where you can find more information about the pep talk or the program that they run in schools. But then they've also got some great resources available for adults, tweens, teens in regards to pelvic pain. So that is all for today. I hope that that has been helpful. I hope it's been something that you can pass on to your daughter and to help them try to have a better experience with their period, because periods, I do believe, and I'm not trying to be an annoying optimist, but I do believe that they should be something that's celebrated and something that we shouldn't have to endure or suffer from. And so there's lots of ways that we can try to make that better through different interventions. So that is all from me today. If you have any questions, please email us, get in contact with us on our socials at Hormone Health Studio. But we look forward to having you back for future episodes.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode.
If you liked it, leave us a review and follow us on socials. We'd love to hear from you.